Welcome to Pediatric Insight, where we have candid conversations with members of the Child Health Advisory Council and some of the nation's top academic child health leaders. I am Wesley Milliken, CEO of Career Physician, and your host. Each conversation addresses a leadership challenge or opportunity that's top of mind for today's pediatric leaders. The council breaks it down based on the wisdom and experience obtained throughout their distinguished careers. And now, I'm honored to turn it over to the moderator in today's conversation.
So our topic today is strategies for developing effective recruitment packages and considering all stakeholders. As all of us know, the funds flowed, to support academic recruitments are really varied, and usually a combination of support from the medical school, physician groups, hospitals, or health systems. And I'd be really interested to hear, maybe John could give us some comments on from his experience on how the reality of these various fund sources of funds flow have provided a barrier in seeking support for department level recruitments. John, do you have some thoughts on that?
Yeah, thanks, Craig. Great topic. And I think there's a lot of good insights that'll be shared today, but appreciate the opportunity to share a little bit from my perspective, both in the department as well as on the hospital side. One of the things we talk about a lot is alignment. And a lot of times these efforts are led by the individual department and may not necessarily align with either the school of medicine or the practice plan or even the hospital system. And so when you look at that, it's really important to figure out how can you help align those different parties. And so for the department-led efforts, more times than not, you have a limit to the financial resources that can be provided for something like that. Drawing the hospital in, drawing the school of medicine in, and really helping paint the picture of why is this recruit important for each of us, both from an academic research, but also from a clinical care standpoint, so that everybody participates, because really that's the goal, bring everybody to the table and have them help participate with the recruitment. I think there's even an opportunity with community and philanthropy to bring them in as well and sort of help draw those folks into the mission of what you're trying to do. And so first and foremost for me is really how to develop that alignment. Probably the most successful approach to that I've seen has been when there is sort of a regular cadence of strategic service lines within a broader system. In this case, we're talking about children's services, a regular cadence of meetings so that you have representation from the school of medicine, from the hospital system, from the departments that are involved, pediatrics and other surgical departments from the pediatric side, to meet on a regular basis, whether it's quarterly, maybe sometimes, periodically, it's probably more often than that, and talk about where are those strategic initiatives, where do we stand on these recruits, and where do we go from here? Who's bringing what to the table, from base salaries to money for research, to educational support, and again, even philanthropy. So I think the alignment and anything that you can do to have those regular touch points with the hospital, with the department, with the school of medicine and others is really important from that standpoint. So I think having that strategic plan is big, but I think also maintaining some degree of flexibility, because we all know when that unicorn falls in our lap, we've got to be able to pivot quickly and take advantage of that. And we all know some of those mission-based subspecialties that there simply aren't a lot of them out there, but those are the ones that we have to be able to pivot and quickly call our colleagues, either at the hospital, again, at the School of Medicine or the Department of Pediatrics, and really understand sort of what that candidate brings to the table. And so from my standpoint, that's really what's worked the best is that regular communication, because at the end of the day, it's all about those relationships.
Well, thanks, John. That's a very valuable perspective. Arnie, you've had a lot of experience in a large children's hospital. I was wondering if you have some instances in which maybe it hasn't worked as well as you'd like to see it work, and maybe what was missing in those instances.
Yeah, I think I would emphasize what John said, that preparation before recruitment is critical, to make sure that the resources, the alignment is there, and that there is commitment with the resources, whether it's money, space, or programmatic needs are aligned and present and discussed, so that when the recruitment begins, the candidates know what those resources are and know who's running the recruitment. So an example, when I was recruited here to Cincinnati, it wasn't actually clear to me whether it was the hospital or the medical school, which was the person really dealing with the situation, until the dean told me, you got to talk to the CEO of the children's hospital, that's where the money is. And I think it's really crucial to understand who's leading the recruitment and where the resources are coming from. I do think that essentially every recruitment is a joint recruitment. And so understanding that at the beginning is really crucial. But who is sort of leading the way is also crucial, and understanding that up front. And of course, as you said, Craig, that may be different for different types of positions. Surgical positions, for example, may be different than primarily research positions. So being in a position of understanding what the hospital is going to contribute, what the Department of Pediatrics is going to contribute, and what the community is going to contribute. And then I would just emphasize that successful recruitments depend upon impressing the candidates with the commitment. So negativity does not help, and positivity does. That is, when I, for example, met with the chair of the Board of Trustees, that impressed me. And that really helped me decide that this was a place I wanted to come.
Those are really good thoughts. Bruder, I'd really be interested in knowing if you've come up with any specific ways in your career as the in the Children's Hospital that have really facilitated helping other groups come together and make those recruitments possible. What type of specific things have you been able to do to make that happen?
I do think that one of the most important aspects of communication to the candidates as they are being recruited is to get a single voice, that there is an understanding that everyone is working together and has communicated and made those commitments. And so that it's not a voice from the university, for instance, that we are looking for a funded investigator and we're going to put our package there and then go to the CEO of the hospital or the hospital administration and say, we don't want an investigator. We want a clinical leader. And so I do think that it also is the same for key recruits, not just chairs, it's division heads, looking at what the message is that we are recruiting for and having an understanding from those people that those commitments are going to be made. Well, I can give an example. There was a surgical recruit for the university, and there was a real star liver transplant person that this man happened to be wanted to bring a pediatric liver transplanter. Well, we had a hepatology program. And so before we started going out and recruiting, I called the chair of surgery and transplant director and the head of GI, the liver program, and we had a meeting with the hospital administration and the university leaders in surgery, and came to an understanding: would we support this individual, and how would we support it? What would be the message? Were the liver team going to support it? And they did. But we said it's really important to understand that, you know, what the responsibilities would be and the package would be prior to going out to talk to this individual, because if that individual came and got a different message from surgery and different message from the GI program, there'd be no sense of commitment to the resources that this person would actually need. So that's an example of one of the things that I remember doing when I was chair.
That's really a good point. Bob, I was wondering, as a surgeon, have you had instances in which you've had difficulty with recruitments that needed to happen, but yet had a hard time working with those groups that were going to be supporting that individual? And how did you kind of overcome those differences?
There's some structural problems that are perhaps a little different in the surgical realm. So as a children's hospital surgeon in chief, I had to interface with, I think it was 7 different surgical chairs. And so if you identified the need for, say, a pediatric urologist based on your perceived needs at the children's hospital, getting the chair of urology on board with that and being supportive of that was, it may not on the surface seem to be something that they thought was needed. So it was imperative that as surgeon in chief, I had strong relationships with all the different chairs. So that's partially answering your question. And then, as Bruder cited, you know, nothing that's done in surgery for sure is independent. You're totally dependent on the medical specialties that support that. So getting all those people involved. So in the case of, urology, making sure that the nephrologists have the perceived need, or that the neurodevelopmental team has a need for a reconstructive urologist or whatever. So I think a great deal of my effort was spent trying to get all the different stakeholders together. And I would say, honestly, some of the greatest challenges were with the chairs and convincing them that that need at Children's Hospital was sufficient to add a faculty member. The chairs were always worried about their fiscal responsibility, and we had to get reassurance from the hospital that they would keep the new faculty member whole, and that the chair wouldn't be at a disadvantage if that individual wasn't able to generate enough salary revenue.
Bruce, I'd be interested in thoughts that you might have on how you've been able to bring about alignment from maybe the School of Medicine or the hospital to try and support those interests that you have in building the department.
Thanks, Craig. It's actually been pretty well said that preparation is everything. Before even beginning a recruitment, it makes sense to work with a medical school, with the dean, to find out who she would be willing to support, to what extent, what characteristics that recruit might have, and when she would like to meet with the recruit. Similarly, with the hospital, to what extent do they have resources? Who would they like to meet with? When would they like to see the CV and meet with them? And do that before even beginning any recruitment, so that when you have somebody that needs multiple support or support from different areas, or even support from other departments where they have a significant impact, you sort of have a template for how to go about doing that. There is another aspect to joint recruitment that we haven't discussed, and it might be too much for this, is what do you do when you're recruiting a candidate whose significant other is also a physician and needs a position? And that puts a new layer of complexity if they're coming to a different department.
That's a really good point. Peggy, I'm really interested in hearing from the perspective that you've had in the hospital side of things. What sort of characteristics have made you more agreeable to work with the departments that are recruiting particular faculty? What are those things that are going to persuade you that yes, indeed, this is a good investment of resources of the health system?
The main thing that I always look for was what's the strategy? Where are you trying to go with the program? And what's it going to look over the next 3 to 5 years? Because the initial investment is the initial investment. Those details are really pretty clear at the beginning of the search. But to me, it's what kind of continued investment is going to need to be made in order to successfully recruit and retain the individual that you're trying to retain. And then also, what hospital resources are going to be needed to support that individual? Because no one comes as an island, right? And we mentioned, like in urology, you've got to have nephrology and the layers of personnel that you're going to have to invest in while the program's ramping up. And then also being very clear about what is the ramp-up time. Because when the hospital's investing, particularly in a new program leader, you really need to understand what type of investment you're going to have to make. Particularly in those departments where, in those areas where you have a department chair that is focused on the adult side of the business, because their ability to invest and their willingness to invest sometimes is suspect because they don't have the resources with their own department and it doesn't enhance the majority of what they're trying to accomplish in that department. I always found working with the dean on the front end was one of my secrets to success because when the dean and the hospital administrator really are on the same page about where we're trying to go with the program, their ability to influence was definitely more meaningful than what I could do, particularly in those other departments. With the dean and the CEO being aligned, I think that really does help the perspective. I also think that, and one point that was made is all participants that are part of the recruitment process need to be on the same page because I've seen more things fall apart when there isn't a unanimity about the type of candidate, the programmatic enhancements, et cetera, because if the candidate comes in and gets a different message from the hospital than they do from the academic side, you will definitely lessen your chances to recruit the top stars. And really, at the end of the day, it's about the program, it's about the money. We put in a new affiliation agreement with the medical college, and we were able to then take over the financial aspects of the clinical practice. And really, we asked them for the help on the academic side, which really made recruitment easier because the bigger investment oftentimes is going to be on the clinical side.
I think that's a really important point, Peggy. I think that, oftentimes chairs will come to a health system, to a hospital, and say, we need some investment in this program because I think this is an important thing to do. But to the extent that you can build a vision and show what that program, how that's going to benefit, and how you think those resources are going to benefit not just you as a department chair, but also the whole health system, and how that's going to spill over in other departments, I've often found that to be a very persuasive argument in terms of supporting individual chairs in terms of department recruitments. So I think as we look at the conversations we've had today, we've heard about the importance of planning, the importance of getting lots of different perspectives involved, and helping the people who are going to be involved in this recruitment understand that they have a voice in terms of, well, how is this going to be portrayed to the potential candidates? How are they going to have input? When are they going to have input? And how that's going to be important to making that recruitment successful. I've also heard that a little bit on the other side of this, as much as it is important to have many people involved in the planning of this recruitment, it's important that from the recruitment's perspective, that there's a single voice that they're talking to, that they really do understand that there's a person in charge of this process. And it's also important to make sure that all the people that they interview with are very positive, because you can have 7 or 8 positive discussions and 1 disquieting discussion that makes the whole thing go negative. That's happened many times in my experience. So I think those are pretty good lessons to look at and principles to go by in terms of recruitment in these difficult times. So thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us for today's discussion. The Child Health Advisory Council is comprised of a diverse group of emeritus deans, department chairs, division chiefs, and child health executives recognized for their leadership contributions in academic, pediatrics, and child health. The CHAC's impact is further bolstered by Council specialty advisors who are active current national leaders in each of the subspecialties in pediatrics. Collectively, the 30-plus members of the CHAC bring unmatched wisdom and experience to career physicians' executive search and leadership development endeavors for its clients. If you have a question for our council or have a future topic suggestion, please connect with us at pediatricinsight.com.